Hi, and welcome back to part two of a two-part PowerCast from the Gospel Revolution that was recorded from interviews and question and answer time in Cullman, Alabama, at the 2012 Gospel Revolution Southeast Conference. Now, because of the circumstances, some of the quality is not as good as we would like it, but the content is simply magnificent. So with that in mind, let's continue.
Gospel Revolution.
We're about to start the fourth and final session in Cullman, Alabama, on the Book of Ephesians with Mike Williams, and I've got Pat Lockshaw in front of me right now, so we're going to sneak a few minutes together. Pat, you are always on Facebook, and you've got a face that looks like it was born smiling.
Well, most of the time.
How long have you been aware of the Gospel of Grace and Peace?
Since 1995.
How did you hear about it?
Well, I had not been in church for about 2 years, just got tired and sad and knew whatever I believed wasn't right. There was something wrong because I was just dead inside. And I had prayed and done all I needed to do and just said, Lord, show me the truth because what I'm believing is not true because I'm not free. And
so what you were saying was, it's not true because it's not working?
It's not doing. If it's supposed to make me free, then it's not true because I'm not free. I was I thought I was the best I'd ever been as far as good, but yet I felt the deadest inside that I'd ever felt. So I knew something was wrong with what I believed, and I was wanting to change what I believed. I said, I don't care what the truth is. I don't care, but I want to know what it is. And I set out on that journey. And really, when I say I sat out, I sat down. I didn't do anything.
You just sat.
I waited.
Okay. You set it out. How long ago was that again?
That was in 93.
93. We're talking
20 years ago.
20 years ago. If somebody from the Gospel Revolution had crossed your path 21 years ago, what do you wish they'd have said to you?
You know, I don't know if I would have been ready at that time. Your mind, I believe I had to get wore out first. But I don't really know what they could have said. I just know what Mike said the night I heard him.
What was that?
That was, all I remember was him reading out of the Book of Romans and just reading. And I had never heard Romans just read. I had heard a chapter or a verse or, you know, the homosexuals, you know, that's where they, you know, we're not supposed to let them in or whatever we're supposed to do with them. I thought that all came from Romans. And when he started reading Romans and I realized what it was saying, and it's, God, the life started pouring into me. You know,
Don't cry on me, Pat.
I can't help it. It's, you know, more than the birth of my children that night changed my life. And I've never looked back. I've never questioned. For a while, I went 15 years and didn't even read my Bible. I didn't care. You know, I knew that life was in me and nobody could ever take it away from me again.
Next, you're going to tell me that you felt free.
I don't even know if free's the word. I don't think there's a word in our language that can describe it.
Now, for the PowerCast listeners, could you explain what two women grinding means?
Well,
say anything you want, and we'll take it if you want.
I had tried so hard. I've always heard that as a rapture doctrine, and I knew that wasn't a rapture doctrine after I got free.
And you were talking about two people doing this and two people doing that.
And then one of them's gone, and the other one's left. Oh, woe is he that is left. But I just started, just within the last few weeks, it dawned on me that what was taken out of the way was the law, the old covenant, the old creation, and that all that was good, was left was the new. And it finally dawned. I mean, all of years of thinking about that verse and anguishing over it and thinking, we got to figure this out, just in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it just was gone. The old was gone, the new remained.
Now, when you say twinkling of an eye, I can't explain what happened to me except to say I felt free. I felt, oh my God, I could take a long breath.
Well, I felt like I had been all my religious life, that I had been underwater, and that every once in a while somebody would let me go and I could pop up and get a breath. But as soon as I got that breath and felt like I was going to live, I got shoved back down under the water, struggling again. And that night in 95, I came up out of that water, and the breath never left me. I was able, from then on, nobody could ever shove me back down. Nobody could convince me that I was ever going to go back under that water.
Now, today when you walk down the road and you find Dudley Do-Right and Rita Righteous walking hand in hand together with the Bible in the hand and the Roman road in the other hand, and they come to you and say, God bless you, child, in a patronising way, what do you say to them?
You know, I'm the kind that I just kind of zip my lip up and think, you know, they've got to get to where I was. They've got to get tired of it. So I just say, it is so good to see you, you know, and I really don't know that I mean that. but I haven't taken it on as a personal quest to make everybody believe what I believe. I know that no matter what they believe, the truth is the truth. So I don't worry really about what other people think. And I wish I was more out there, that I did speak my mind more. My family, for 15 years, they didn't know what I never told them I believed anything different than what they did. And they were all in shock a few months ago when they found out that I didn't believe there was a hell or that anybody was going there. And now it's their quest to save me again. So, you know, I guess I try to just stay away from it. I'm not a confronter. I hate confrontation. I just live and let live and hope that at some time in everybody's life, they'll get to hear a Mike Williams. And then maybe we can talk about it.
Now, we've been listening to the book of Ephesians. Give me an aha moment if you've had one.
I did have one. I've had one several times, but the biggest thing is to always going back and realizing that the sacrifice satisfied God, that he was satisfied, and we've read it, it says it, and no one, I mean, really sometimes I find myself thinking, could that really be true? You know, I know it is true.
Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied.
And be satisfied.
And we saw the travail of his soul and we made a big deal out of that, but satisfied was something we kind of never went near, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. You can never have peace when you know or feel that God's still angry. And I think until people get that, they're not gonna understand a gospel of peace. It's they're two opposing forces, and they've made us, you know, when you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that's what's happened to us. We've become so double-minded, and they're not going to get it until they get the words of Isaiah. They're not going to understand it.
So what can you do for them in the meantime?
I just try to make short Thanksgivings and Christmases. I don't have the burden to make them understand it. You know, I want them to, but they exhaust me.
What I was looking for was, I just love them.
Now that I love them dearly. I love, my mother is a picture of goodness and wonderfulness and sweetness. And when I look at her, you could just lick off of her everything that's good. And then I'll look at her and see her cry because she still thinks that her grandchildren are going to hell. And I think how horrible that her, you know, she doesn't have many years left. She's 81. And I look at her and I think if she only knew the goodness that she teaches herself, that she taught us, if she really believed it, you know, she could live out her last few years with just total, I mean, just peace beyond any comprehension.
Now, what would you say to the people who are on the fence about going to Marshfield or Janesville in the next 3 weeks? What would you say to those? You know, there's a couple hundred miles they've got to cover, and just to get there, is it going to be worth it?
Oh, my. Do everything you can to do it. Because even things we know, we have to be reminded of. And Mike is so gifted with with reminding us and teaching it, because it's such a passion for him. You know, it's kind of gotten me a little bit hungry again to get in and study again.
But not to read the Bible short.
Well, some. I love reading y'all's. I love reading what people write, because that's from their hearts. And I have gotten back in a little bit and studied. I'm not scared of it anymore. I know I don't have to reconcile everything. It's okay to not know.
You know, it's okay to not know.
It's okay to not know if something's, you know, I don't think anything we believe is exactly right. I don't. It's too big for us to fathom. But even just the glimpse of what we've got is glorious. For me, it's done everything that I could even imagine, just to make me want to get up every morning, you know, and go in and smile and know that it's all going to be okay. My youngest son is a heroin addict, and I've struggled so, you know, for so long. But, you know, it's so wonderful to know that no matter what happens, that he's probably, if he don't kick this, he's probably going to go to the other side before I do. But it's so good to know that no matter what, he is just like I am. He's just like every other person on the planet of the earth. He is redeemed. And he's just got a bad monkey on his back. And as a mother, I want to do everything I can. But the guilt is off of me. I know all I can do is all I can. And everything else God has taken care of. I don't have to worry, besides worrying about heroin, I don't have to worry that judgment's coming for me. Now that's a major thing with parents that I see that are going through what I am. They're not just worried about their children dying, they're worried about their children dying and going to hell.
Say one last thing to make us all smile, right? Because you're smiling, and it just ain't fair that you're getting our joke and the rest of us are missing out.
Well, gosh, I'm going to get to lay down tonight and have had a glorious weekend, and know that tomorrow I've got a little bit more that I can share with those that want to hear it. And just seeing people that I've seen, their pictures, that's all I've seen, and for all of us to get together and see each other and know that we are real and we're out there, that's just, how much better can life be? It can't get any better than this.
It can't get any better. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Bruce. God
bless you, girl.
If the Bible is all about Jesus, don't you think that most churches would mention him with at least the same frequency as they mention all of their favorite dogmas and doctrine and all those rules of your particular brand of religion? Tithing, moralism, Old Testament law, abortion, gays, politics, all hail the leader. Persecution, the end times, don't forget the bloody rules. God's perfect will for your life, fleeing youthful lusts. Rock music, speaking in tongues, the coming kingdom. Worldliness and how to escape it, those pesky rules, don't forget them. Heresy, prophecy, soul winning, missions, offerings, wrong doctrine, right doctrine. And don't forget all those bloody rules. Relationships, long hair, short hair, dyed hair, liberalism, greasy grace, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, dispensationalism, and rules, never ending bloody rules, and Calvinism, Arminianism, a missionary service, Sunday school, swearing and cussing, besetting sins, sexual purity, and give us some more rules, won't you? False prophets, confession, dress code, mixed swimming, dancing, movies, television, dating, and did I mention the freaking rules?
Gospel Revolution. Okay, I just want to say how blessed we were in coming down here to Coleman and meeting new brothers and sisters in the Lord. And just, it's been a real blessing. And seeing you again after, I can't believe how many years have passed since we have seen each other. It's amazing that the time goes by that fast. And I just want to tell Ferris, he's been such a blessing. And Every time we listen to your tapes or whatever, and we still continue at times to break out in tears of joy, because God was so merciful to us to tear us out of the religiosity. I was saying how we would have if we wouldn't have grasped this message of the true gospel, and we would have continued in the false gospel, we rejected that, we would have still been in the same place, spreading the same false gospel that we once did before. And when I think about that, it was like, gosh, you know. And the things that we had to go through to actually be ripped out of the religiosity, it was very hard for us. But we, with hindsight, we look back and say, we wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Even though we thought we were going through the worst thing in our lives, it turned out to be the best thing in our lives. And we thank God that how He used you in our life. He used you to rip us out of that situation. And we're grateful that, to God for you and for all our brothers and sisters in the world that we get to meet all over the different parts of the country. And we always feel joy, you know, to our brothers and sisters wherever we are.
I would just like to say thank you as well. My name is Colton Egan. And being worship leaders in the world of Christianity, we could never understand why we couldn't get worship in why we were kicked out of churches so often. But people that are living the law can't really love God or feel loved by God because it's all performance-based. And as long as it's performance-based, it'll always have a good day and a bad day, or a bad day. And when you understand the will of God, as Mike has so eloquently spoken today, the will of God brings that peace of mind to where you're just allowed to live now. And that should be enough for the rest of our lives. That should be enough. But not the burden of, gee, am I in the will and offend God? All that stuff goes by the wayside when you understand the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. And there's just no other freedom like it. And we are eternally grateful to Mr. Williams.
There was these three guys that walked into a bar. I really, really have enjoyed the sweet, sweet spirit here. And I've just sat here, and I hope nobody's noticed too much, that I have shed tears with and among you. And I've really enjoyed the fellowship. And I can see how Paul just yearned to have that fellowship wherever he taught. That he says, I want to impart a spiritual gift to you. You know, so that when you get it, man, we can just fellowship in that. And I can relate to that. And it feels so good to me. And I'm very thankful for this time together.
This is Pat Winsett. I just want to tell you how much I've enjoyed meeting everyone, because, see, a room like this makes us know that there is no one that's free from the true gospel. There's no education level. There's no income level. There's no location. That's what makes the gospel so absolutely real. I just want to share a little story with you. I hope it might mean as much to you as it did to me. When you think about Elizabeth Barrett and the poetry that she wrote and the things that she said, and as she was in England and her family kept her down and dejected and in a wheelchair, believing that she couldn't overcome anything, until Robert Browning fell in love with her soul, the soul of her poetry. And he took her to Italy, and then they had the greatest love story ever. And 13 years later, she died in his arms. But it was the true, absolute realization of what the love of God does in your life. And there's no boundary, because He does every one of us like that. And when you experience that, you can't go back.
Pastor Ted, just want to say thank you, Mike, for coming. We really enjoyed it. We should have been here a little earlier today, but okay. I was tired. I have a job. But I hope we can do it again soon. And I hope you come back.
I knew the book of Ephesians was loaded, and so I was looking forward to coming, and I'm not disappointed. And it's great to be with all different types of people. I want to throw in a comment about the webcast. I never really had a chance to make it yet. I wanted to do it before I left, but I think the new PowerCast is at least 100 times better than the old webcast as far as doing the job that it's meant to do, getting out the gospel. I just want to let that be known. I think it's fantastic.
My name's Jeremy Laney. A few years ago, I come listen to you teach in what's the town called? Morgan City, Alabama, between Arab and Huntsville. That night changed my life. That one night, I went to a Bible school here in Coleman and took a class on Romans and did not understand nothing at the end of that semester. I asked the teacher, you know, he was my pastor, actually. I asked him about it, and he tried to explain, like, just too confused. I'm just so confused. And I'd read the Bible all the time, confused. And it was the way we're taught. I was raised in, I don't necessarily would say legalism, but I guess it was a form of legalism. But, you know, when you're going through life as a teenager and you want to please God, you want God to be pleased with you, and you want to do the right things, and you love God with all your heart, and you'll do anything for Him. But I grew up trying to please God and for God to be pleased with me. And like you say, praying, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Just show me. And I lived 35 years saying that. And I felt like now that I'm free from that, it's like I look back and I'm like, wow, what I could have done, you know, the things I could have accomplished, school. Because I wanted to minister, you know, I sang, I wanted to preach, and I was like, God, you know, send me out, you know. What are you waiting on? Open the doors, you know. I'm ready, let's go. The horse is saddled and, you know, my badger packed, you know, I'll go where I want to go. You know, no holds barred, but nothing happened. Got involved in church, sang on the praise team. Well, maybe somebody, you know, spot me out. And, you know, God, you know, you can do that, right? You know, you can send somebody in and give me my big break, and I can go on a full-time ministry. You know, I'm, you know, never happened. I got used because I'd do anything for anybody, so they used me. And I mean, the time I did get to sing, I had fun, and I got to be a blessing to people. But, you know, even you got to be careful, though, because you get on this treadmill of wanting to do things. But now that I'm free, in my mind and all, that now I know that God's already pleased with me because of Jesus Christ. He's already pleased. And that, all of a sudden, developed a closer relationship with God, because you cannot please a dictator. God becomes a dictator to you. I mean, what's the use of being to marry somebody if they demand me to bring them a rose every day? I'll love you if you'll bring me a rose every day. If you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you, and I'll love you. I'll be pleased with you then. That's no relationship, and it certainly ain't love. And that's my relationship with God, was. But now that I know no matter what I bring to God, no matter if I don't bring anything to God, He loves me no matter what. He loves me because of Christ, because of what Jesus did. But anyway, now I understand Romans, because that one night you taught on Romans. And it's like a light bulb, just a bolt of lightning, just wow. And when I read it, it's like I understood it all. It made sense. And I'm still learning now. And I try to teach it as much as I can, and you know, I haven't been able to in a while, because now I am going to Wallace and doing what I want to do, you know, and becoming a police officer, you know. And I still want to teach, though. I still want to teach, and I still want to sing, and I'm going to. Anyway.
My name is Wanda Laney, and y'all just don't know what it means to me, for my children, to know grace and peace. My husband, he couldn't come because he had to work crazy shifts at work. But, you know, we love grace and peace. We love the Lord with all of our heart. And there's so many people in bondage and so many families. But I'm so thankful for my children that their minds have been opened to see and to receive this beautiful love of God. I have another son that didn't come today. Wonderful. Three sons. They're all such blessings. And I just wonder sometimes, God, why did you bless me so much with such wonderful children? But and everything just opens up when you talk the true word of God. Hebrews and Ephesians, it's just loaded, and it's like, why didn't I see this before? What? You know, and you go to the denominational churches and they don't preach it. I never heard it before. And then, you know, you get in there when you hear about this and for yourself and you say, why have I not seen it? It's like it's been hidden. It's been hidden. But now it's being opened up to the world. A gospel revelation. And I hope it spreads all over the world quickly. Thank you so much.
Just a big thank you to Mike that he is in the will of God so that we can be in the will of God. God is awesome to be set free from bondage of the law. Not like the Hebrews were, but like I was from church. And to know truth when you hear it and what it does in your heart brings peace and a life. Just so grateful. Going on 8 years now. I still got a lot of layers that's got to come off, but I am throwing them off as fast as I can.
My name is Mary Lou Kustra. This is Mary Kustra, by the way. She's my sister-in-law. This is the second of these that I have been to, and I have enjoyed them so much. I'm a strong-headed woman, but for me to be able to open up to this and see what it means to me, hear what it means to me, and what it means to other people that I'm able to mingle with, I'm very, very grateful.
Mike, I can't tell you how thankful I am. I've known you since 1989. That's a long time. My little boy was, 7 years old when I first met you. And you were speaking from a different perspective at that time, but I saw your heart. At that time, I felt your heart. I knew your heart was so purely in love with the Lord, and you wanted so desperately to help people understand this love, even though you were still teaching from the Word of Faith movement. I thought I was already free of the Word of Faith movement, but I found other things in my heart that need to come down this weekend, and I'm just amazed, because I always think I'm getting it, but then I realized that when you said that he hid it from us so that we wouldn't mess it up, that was like, okay, now I know why I didn't understand all of this like I do now today, because I'm the kind of a person, my personality is such that I want to get in there and do it, fix it, work it, and wait for it, and encourage and do all the right things, but yet not accepting where my own heart is. That's where I learned today. I can trust my heart. My heart is okay. I don't have to worry about whether Have I done enough to be accepted, not only by the Lord, but by people that I love? And see, that's where I needed this so much, and I didn't even realize it. And so I want to be able to take it home to my family. And I will. But I wanted to thank you so very much for coming. Come again soon. Thank you. I love you.
I just want to extend my gratitude to everyone that arranged for you to be here. And I'm so glad I didn't miss it. And I'm honored to hear you and to come and hear you, to listen to you. And my hope for you and for everyone here is for continued awakening, much peace, and much joy to all of you. Thank you, and I can't wait to see you again.
This is Barry Laney. I just want to say thank you, Mike, for coming. Thank you for accepting our invitation. Thank you for pouring your heart out. I could tell sometimes it was very emotional for you, but I can tell it made others emotional at the same time. I wouldn't call it weird. We had a hallelujah shouting good time, you know, at times, and a weeping good time, but sometimes the joy is overwhelming, and, you know, we shed a few tears. And but just a thank you of gratitude. You know, I want to give you props, but the Holy Spirit is the great teacher. You know, we can get glimpses and threads of information, but later things will come to your heart, and you're like, ding, 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 ding. So thank you for your time, your efforts, your teaching, and for coming to speak with us.
I heard Mike for the first time maybe 2002. That's what, 10 years. And this is the first time I've met him. In fact, this is the first time I've met anyone like you all. I live in Nashville, have done for 7 years. In Nashville, we have more churches per square mile. Now, we like to claim that Cullman's wrong. We like to claim that we've got more churches per square mile than any other city on the face of the earth. There's certainly more bums on seats on Sunday mornings than anywhere else outside the Vatican, and maybe even including the Vatican. We sell more Bibles out of Nashville than any other city on the face of the earth through Thomas Nelson. We have more headquarters of religious organizations, Black, White, and Brindle. Gideon's parachurch organizations have their headquarters in Nashville. The Methodists, the Baptists, Black and White, all there in Nashville. And we have 1,000 churches. And we have 4,000 homeless people living and dying under bridges right there under our noses. I've seen Christianity up close, and it smells wrong. And that is when I was happy to say I'm not a Christian. I got a bit of a nudge from Mike, but it wasn't for the same reasons as Mike doesn't call himself a Christian. I just didn't like what I saw in religion. It sucks. I'm sorry. And what right have I, an Aussie, to come over here and criticize you and your religions? All I can tell you is what I see. And I've been with homeless war veterans under bridges while they were dying. And I asked myself, why do you do that? I don't understand that. I don't understand why, as a country, you do it, but I sure don't understand why in Nashville, with so many Christians, you would do it. There's something broken about a system like that. There's something broken when we're competing with each other. There's something broken when Jesus says that when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He'll lead you into all truth, but we really act as if it's the pastor that'll do that, or the teacher, or the high-paid TBN visiting, tithe receiving, $3 million house living televangelist. I don't want to tell them what's wrong with it. I just, there's something broken. That's all I know. And I know that coming into this gospel did for me what I stood in front of 4,000 and 5,000 and 3,000 people
member congregations and taught them to sing songs about, I'm free, I'm free. But I wasn't. I knew there was something wrong. And here's what Mike Williams helped me do. He helped me put words to what I knew, but I couldn't put words to. So I was able to come out from a performance-based behavior modification system into the freedom of being able to fail and not feel bad about myself. And, Mike, again, you make me think. And none of us want to think. And your story today about use me, Lord. Which one of you fathers who has any daughter, and remember in the Bible picture it is the bride of Christ, right? It's the feminine, we take the feminine if you like. Which one of you fathers who having a daughter who would come up to you and say, Daddy, use me? I want you to think about that. What would you say? What would you feel? I want to be used by you. Paul says, first in the natural, then the spiritual. I'm giving you, you've got natural things to understand spiritual things a little bit. If that feels right to you, then of course it's okay then for us to want our Heavenly Father to use us. But if that feels wrong to you, something's broken. And I want to say thank you for letting me be part of this little group of wonderful pioneers. These wonderful pioneers. I've met you and I haven't met enough of you, and I haven't met you enough either. And I hope it just continues. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We love your luck.
Gospel Revolution.
Need a friend? We'll be a friend on Facebook. Look us up under Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Go on, do it now.
Well, I hear the sound of many waters. I hear the sounds of the earth set free. I hear the feet of millions dancing. I hear a rustling in the mulberry trees. I see the eyes of Jesus laughing. I hear the Lord say, let light be. I see a perfect bride a-twirling. I hear the sounds of jubilee. Flow, river, flow, river, flow, the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, flow, river, everything it touches is set free. Flow, river, flow, river, flow, the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, flow, river, everything it touches is set free.
Well, family, it is that we must leave you. But we have had a buzz doing this tonight. I want you to know that everything you heard there on today's PowerCast is just a very dim shadow of what we really enjoyed down in Cullman, Alabama. And I want to say to those of you who are thinking of heading to one of the meetings in either Janesville or Marshfield, Wisconsin, go to the webpage www.gospelrevolution.com. Go to the webpage and check out the facilities, check out the times and the dates. It's only in a couple of weeks now. And I want to tell you this. Will you enjoy laughing with each other after hours? Yeah. But that's not what you're really going to like. Are you going to enjoy meeting old friends? Well, yeah, but that's not going to be the highlight either. Are you going to enjoy meeting new people? Well, yeah, sure, but that's hardly the top point. What you're going to enjoy is coming away feeling lighter. Just that simple, really. If there's one thing the gospel does, it makes you free. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't feel like you're free, then you're not free. If you're not free to sin, if you're not free to fail, if you're not free to try, if you're not free to disagree, you're not free. But one thing I'm going to tell you, you'll come away from both of those meetings up in Wisconsin with, is a serious case of freedom. Oh yeah, you'll be seriously infected, and you will be spoiled for religion forever. Michael, we missed you tonight, buddy. But we know that you need a well-deserved break after your big weekend down there, and you've got another couple of meetings coming up. So, Mike, we're thinking of you. And to every gospel revolutionary out there, I say grace and peace. And come back same time, same channel next week, where we will do the same thing, only, well, kind of, sort of, better.
Sons of God rejoicing, and I see everything is redeemed. I see Eden's boundaries spreading, covering the earth, covering the sea. I see a people with the key of David. I see a world of kings and priests. Flow, river, flow, river, flow the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, flow, river, everything it touches is set free. Flow, river, flow, river, flow the kingdom.
Listen.